Acts 19, verses 1 through 20. And it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered into the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." 7 sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirits answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirits leaped out of them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily.
The word of the Lord. In the Spoon, Witherspoon. Great to have you. I feel like it's been a while for us.
It has been a while.
Oh, man. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm great. Glad to have you back. The great book burning of Ephesus, and man, just a lot going on in this passage. You know what struck me as I was listening to the passage, though, Ian? You know, in Christianity, maybe there's not, you know, there wasn't like a John the Baptist that baptized in repentance, and then, of course, Jesus that baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't think that there's this debate's not happening in the church still to this day. However, you do see a lot of, "I was baptized in the name of my father," or "I was baptized, you know, by this pastor," or something. More confidence in the pastor and your father and some tradition that you're taking part in, than, of course, confidence in the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paige, for example, got baptized when she was 8 years old. Her dad was a pastor. Not life change, right? It was just what you did, right?
No.
She's eight years old, get baptized. Everybody else is going forward. And so it's kind of like this. Like, she was kind of baptized in the name of her father, but not in the name of the Lord. Didn't really receive the Holy Spirit. Her heart was hard to the things of the Lord. Her heart was cold toward any sort of conviction. Then, of course, later she came to faith in Christ, and then later after that was baptized. But I would say that was her actual baptism, where she was really baptized in the Lord, confessing faith in Jesus. She had received the Holy Spirit and was walking faithfully in the Lord. So just an interesting little passage. Obviously, it seems kind of out of place, but really I think the same kind of thing still happens. And then, of course, we have this people, these sons of Sceva, you know, acting out not in, obviously, the strength of Christ, and they're dominated by these demons. I think that kind of thing still happens also. So, interesting passage. What are your thoughts?
Well, just to go off what you just said, talking about that, I kind of think about, you know, the baptism for me has been described to me in a particular way, where it's like, on your day of your baptism, it's like your wedding day. It's that public proclamation in front of all the people that you know that you love this person.
Yeah.
You are part of their life. And kind of what struck my mind as you're saying, it's kind of like Paige had a promise ring to start, but a promise ring doesn't really promise that you're actually going to end up together. It's a hope, but it's not like a fully, it's not a covenant made there. But then she didn't put the wedding ring on until she actually got baptized in her own doing later on.
And in a sense, I would say her confidence was not in the right thing when she was baptized at first. Like the baptism of John was reflective of Christ. It was a sign of repentance, but it wasn't really a sign of true faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And again, I think a lot of people are baptized like that. Like they've experienced some sort of brokenness over their sin, and they're like, what do I do? And so they get baptized or they join a church, and their confidence is in joining the church. Their confidence is in the actual baptism. Mm-hmm. But I think what's happening here is this is a baptism in Christ in which the Holy Spirit also is activated or has an indwelling power in someone's life. And that really is what changes them. And that's really what empowers them. And then, of course, it's interesting you have these two stories back to back, because at the bottom, the Sceva story, these people are kind of acting in a Christian name, if you will, but they're not acting in the power of Christ. They're not acting. And of course, they're overtaken. It's just at that time, this kind of worthless mysticism. And of course, it really has no authority or power over the powers of evil.
Yeah, that's very true. As you know, like you said, with these sons of Sceva, how they were in their own way kind of also proclaiming Christ without actually being with Christ themselves.
Right. That's
which
right.
was exactly what some people, as we talked about just a second ago, where though you'll get baptized, but your confidence is in your actions the actions of Christ.
And I would say that same kind of thing still happens. I mean, even with a lot of, you know, a lot of the kind of, you know, it was interesting. I had a conversation a few weeks ago just about some of the more like prominent kind of charismatic movements that you see today. And again, like, I'm not saying that the Lord is totally divorced from them, but I think what can happen is when the Holy Spirit begins moving in a place, people can begin kind of manipulating people in an emotional way that is really not of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And I think when that was revealed here, what did they do? They said, let's get rid of all of that. Let's burn all these books. Let's cleanse all of this. Let's bring clarity to the actual word of the Lord so that the actual word of the Lord might increase, which of course it does.
Yeah, I mean, it increased and it prevailed. Like, it stuck around, and that's important for us to do as well, as we find ourselves in a church and as we find ourselves, you know, getting baptized, which are all obviously very good things, making sure that we're constantly drawing ourselves back to the Bible as to like the foundation of our faith, teaching us and being the guide as to what is from the Lord and what's not from the Lord, and especially being able to understand that at the end of the day, we do trust in Jesus' name, not in my name.
There's more interesting stuff to come though, Ian, so we need to keep reading, but that's all we have time for today. So for Ian Witherspoon, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737. Or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.